Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Cam Black, as we get you through your lunch hour here on this Tuesday, August 16th. What's up, Cody? How are you?
Hey, John. Good to be here. Good to be anywhere. How you doing?
Today, I am okay. Just
okay, down the middle.
Yeah. Yep,
nothing solid.
Nothing really to report.
You feel juiced up?
No, I'm pretty tired, actually.
You should have got some caffeine in like I did.
I know.
Yesterday when I left the show, I was shaking.
You were banging around?
I had a bang, a nitro cold brew, and I had a double espresso, and I didn't eat. This is a new thing I've been doing since I got back to the show, is not eating before the show, which I messed it up today.
A new thing I've been doing. It's one day, and you said you already messed it up?
Well, I didn't do it today, but I've been doing it. I've been fasting before the show.
So one day on, one day off.
Well,
I don't know if that's enough to be a habit.
We're only at 2 days yet, so far. So, But today I was in the Bojangles drive-thru, because right by where I live.
Yeah.
And I went through. I was like, I'm just going to get a black coffee, eat something after the show, you know. And then I got to look at the menu. They got all those biscuits. They got the chicken, the steak. Bacon, egg, and cheese, sausage, egg, and cheese. So I got one of each. And
they do breakfast all day at Bojangles?
Yeah.
They do?
Yeah, they do.
That's smart. Because the only thing I ever hear people talk about really about Bojangles is their breakfast. So I guess they probably know that as well.
Yeah. Right now, though, they're neon. Their letters are out, so it's just Bojan. But usually it's Bojangles. And they've got the chicken, though. You got to watch them on the chicken, the bone-in chicken. It can be a little dried out.
I don't think I have to watch it because I just don't eat it. I'm not a Bojangles guy. They're not in my rotation.
What's your fried chicken preferred?
Chick-fil-A.
So you don't eat chicken off the bone?
No. I mean, if I do, I either go to the grocery store and get me a rotisserie chicken and just pick it apart over a span of 2 or 3 days.
Like a cat in the wild.
Yep, exactly like a cat in the wild. Yep.
Just picking apart a chicken carcass.
My dog stands below me hoping I drop some. I'll throw him a couple pieces. And that's where I get my chicken from. Then I guess if I have to pick one, I guess I'd do KFC, but I don't do that a lot either.
So you're not a big chicken on the bone guy?
Nope. I'm a chicken, no bone guy. Wings, I guess I'll eat some wings with bones in them. But I don't think that's what you're asking.
Hmm.
So was it good? The food was good?
No, it's not very good.
So you wish you were still fasting?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, because yesterday I did better. Like, I just ate lunch after this.
Uh-huh.
And I had a cheeseburger, and then I had Chinese food for dinner. I went to the Osaka off Chapman Highway. Are you familiar with it? It's a buffet.
Yeah, you've taken me there before.
Oh, yeah, I have. Yeah. That's right. You did not. Yeah.
No, I thought it was fun. Threw me off a little bit that the rice was yellow. I remember that the rice was yellow, and that threw me off a little bit.
Never had yellow rice?
When I get rice, it's white. I don't know. Like, it threw me off a little bit. I ate it. It tasted normal. It was fun. It just threw me off a little.
I think the one—
neon yellow rice just doesn't seem normal to me, but they're the professionals, not me, so I trusted them.
Yeah.
That was just my lasting impression of the place. That it being like in a gas station looking place, like a—
This place is different.
Okay.
We went to the one off Western Avenue.
Oh, okay.
They have the good lunch deal. It's like, it used to be like $5.99. I'm sure it's more now.
It's probably $7.99 now.
Yeah, because, you know, COVID and inflation and all
right,
that. But
right.
Yeah, it used to be really cheap. But no, this one is off Chapman Highway, and it's so clean in there. Like the food, it's buffet style, so it's probably not the best thing you can eat, you know, a lot of sodium and stuff. But the dude who was cleaning the booth next to me, like, I could smell the fumes of the Clorox.
He was cleaning it.
He was cleaning, like, the people had a what do you call it for the kids, like a high chair thing.
Yeah.
He had that thing like upside down, wiping underneath it, like wiping the legs down with his— the Clorox was getting into my nose as I was eating my egg rolls. I mean, it was— so the place is clean. Shout out Osaka on Chapman Highway. But
it couldn't have been very good though to eat while smelling that.
It kind of was weird. Yeah. But yeah. I don't know. I kind of felt bad when I was eating there because it was like right before they closed, and I'm one guy going into the buffet. Like, I need to change my lifestyle, you know. But that's a whole other thing.
No, we need some more, and throw some more in the fryer just in case.
I mean, shout out to them. The whole thing was stocked. Actually, everything was fresh. They had fresh fish.
It's probably what people are eating today at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, I mean,
had some leftovers that they threw in there and start the day with.
I would recommend it to anybody who's like heavy and looking for a buffet because the fish is fresh. It's all pretty good. I mean, I don't know. I'd stay away from the sushi so much, but.
Yeah, yeah. That feels like a dangerous place to eat.
Overall, a solid restaurant, Osaka on Chapman Highway. Shout out to them. You know, I know they're not paying us.
Yeah, they're not even paying for it. That's how much they love
it. That's a thing I decided to coming back. Like, I'm just going to say the places I like. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, even if they're not cutting a check. I don't think everybody has to cut a check. I think you just say what you like. I think that's good for the local community, don't you think?
Yeah, that's fine with me.
I'm sure someone in this whole audience will go to Osaka for lunch. It's probably going to be me.
Counts. Yeah. You've talked yourself into it. You did such a good job selling it. You're like, oh, that does sound good for lunch.
Yeah. So how's Frank doing?
Frank is Frank's fine. Frank's fine. He was pretty bad a couple of weeks ago, but he's okay now. He's old now.
He was old 2 years ago.
Well, yeah, but now he's even older. He's
right.
Like 13 now, so I mean, he's getting there. He's
a good old dog.
Yeah, I can see it in his face, and his hip kind of went out on him like a month ago, and I thought that was going to be it for him because he couldn't like walk on his back legs or hold himself up really, but he's rebounded. He's about 85% now, I'd say.
That's good.
I think 85% is the best he's going to be. Like, I think that's, you know.
That's his new 100.
Yeah, which is scary in the sense that, you know, next time he gets hurt and gets even worse. Like, I mean, it's – but he's all right. Tail still wagging. It's weird that you thought to ask me about Frank, but he's good.
Well, he was in my head because you were talking about him like you dropped the chicken to him.
Oh.
Off the rotisserie.
Yeah. We had to go on a ride last night for the first time in a while. I got him out of the house. Had to take him in the car. I went to the park, played some volleyball, but then I left my water bottle there. It's a big water bottle, and I almost lost it one time. You see it? Look how much water that holds. That holds almost 70 ounces. It's very convenient to stay hydrated throughout the day.
That is a really big water bottle.
Yeah.
Where'd you get that?
Like at one of the Rosses or Tucker. What is it? Not Tucker. What the hell is Tucker?
TJ Maxx.
TJ Maxx. I don't know.
Tucker Maxx.
I was trying to come out. It's a name I haven't heard of in a while. Marshall's, Tucker's, Marshall Tucker Band. Maybe that's what
Joanne,
I was
Joanne. There's all these different.
Yeah. Maybe that's what I was doing. I got it there at one place one time and almost lost it one time and I was like, okay, it's easy. I'll just replace it. And then I looked high and low at those type of places. Couldn't find a similar bottle. I looked all on Amazon. Couldn't find a similar bottle that was handle twist off 70 ounces. Mm. So long story short, I'm sitting on my couch last night around 10:30 watching Monday Night Raw, which is kind of sad to admit as a 32-year-old.
That's about as sad as me being alone at the Osaka restaurant at closing time. I'd say that's equally sad.
Yeah, but Vince is gone, so, you know, Paul is running the show. Triple H, Hunter.
Paul Levesque.
Yeah. He said he doesn't like going by that, really. People call him Hunter. He's like, my name's not Hunter. Anyways, then like at 10:30, I was like, oh, man, I left my bottle at the park where I went to play volleyball. So then I had to go back to this park late at night. There's a couple cars there. I'm like, this is kind of probably some shady business going on here at the park.
Probably a couple of girls there just playing volleyball.
No.
And then you show up.
I was thinking like either drug deal or some like weird sex stuff going on like in privacy. I don't know. Then I got out and there's like a skunk running across there. I'm like, oh, man. I'd smelled the skunk a couple weeks ago. I was like, he's back. He's here. He's going to spray me. I'm trying to keep Frank in the car.
The skunk knew you were there.
Yeah. Yeah. He ran away. He's like, this guy is smelly. And then my bottle was there, though. I found it.
I wonder what the skunk had done to the bottle before you got to it.
You know, I'm going
to
be honest. I probably should have, but I already had it like halfway full. And again, I told you it's 70 ounces. So do I pour 35 ounces of water out or do I wash it or do I just roll the dice? And I was like, I left the park at like 9. I got back at like 10:30. So surely nothing too bad's happened to it in the last hour and a half, but maybe. I don't know.
And you thought there was weird sex stuff going on in the parking lot. So you decided to take the standing phallic symbol away.
Yeah.
There's no telling what could have happened to that bottle.
That bottle's pretty wide. I don't think they're doing anything with that one. I'd hope not.
I don't know.
I didn't think the sex stuff was going on in the parking lot. I thought it might be going on because like, there's water over there. So maybe they went and tried to do something romantic, like on the kind of like.
With a fish or something?
Yeah. Well, not with the fish, but for the fishes.
Yeah.
I didn't go down there. But I was like,
why
is
somebody sleeping with the fishes?
Well, that'd be even.
Why is this place so sketchy? Where are you playing volleyball?
Oh, it's a great place. It's just dark. I think parks at dark are scary.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They are kind of abandoned at dark.
Yeah.
And they all have the sign up that says park closes at dark.
Right. Dusk till dark or dusk till dawn. I was like, or dawn till dusk. I was kind of like, this feels like a place I'm not supposed to be at 10:30 at night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Luckily, there's nowhere near like schools and like playgrounds. Like, I don't think I would have gotten
any trouble.
Because you're
not allowed close to there. So.
Yeah, that's true. Cam, how are you?
I'm good. Hanging in there. It's Tuesday. It's going through the motions.
You're getting closer to football, Cam.
I know. That's all I wait for every day.
You're getting closer.
I just watch highlights of training camp. And
you wake up every day and you're like, yes, I'm one day closer.
Yeah, pretty much.
And eventually you're going to wake up and it's going to be game day.
That would be the best.
16 days away as far as Tennessee goes.
That works for me. I'll take that as well. So I'm chomping at the bit for it.
Champing.
You sound really excited.
Yeah, yeah. I can hear the excitement in his voice.
I'm getting there.
Yeah, really, really looking forward to it, guys. It's really what I want here.
I did have a weird Uber experience last night.
You had a weird Uber experience?
Yeah. This guy was just really adamant that, like, nobody knows how to drive except him. Mm-hmm. And he was just, like, slandering everybody. And he was tried to, like, quiz me on, like, road rules. And I was like, all of a sudden, I knew them. And I was getting them right. And he was just like, all right, well, how about this one? And he just kept asking me basic stuff. And he's like, they don't even teach kids that these days. And I was like, dude, you can't be older than like 10 years older than me. There was no way.
What were some of the questions?
It was just like,
unless they were going to be on your trivia.
Just road rules.
Yeah, that's going to be on your trivia.
No, it was just like basic stuff, like who was the right of way in like certain situations or like it was just dumb stuff, and he was just slandering that. Then he started slandering Atlanta, so I was getting offended by that too.
Did he know you were from Atlanta?
Well, I ended up like telling him, and I was like, "Oh yeah, I'm from right outside Atlanta," and he was like, "Ugh. Atlanta,
yeah.
That place.
Yeah.
Good thing you're right outside of it." And I was just like, what? He's like, yeah, people down there can't drive at all. I was like, dude, you got your license in Florida. I guarantee you we have a harder driver's test than you.
What kind of review did you leave him?
I gave him like 3 stars.
That could hurt his livelihood.
Yeah, but he was offending me. He was
kind of messed up. Actually.
Was he, how old was this guy?
I don't think he was, I want to say he was in his 30s.
Oh.
He had to be in like his 30s. I'm pretty sure. Like maybe high 30s, but he wasn't that much older than me, and he was like acting like, he's like, how old are you? I was like, dude, I'm like 27. He's like, huh. Well, kids these days, they don't know how to drive. And I'm just like,
I mean, he did get you because like you were riding with him. It'd be like,
yeah.
If you're such a good driver, where's your car, huh? It's
yeah, like, but I could also been like, hey, you picked me up from a bar. I'm being responsible. Like,
fair.
What do you think this is? But yeah, he was just slandering people driving nowadays. He was like, you know what they should do? They should make everybody drive the old school cars from way back in the day with no power steering, no power brakes, and that will really teach them how to drive.
Well, this guy spends his days in the car. I mean, he's a professional driver, so I understand why he thinks he's better than people. He probably does see a lot of dumb stuff on the road.
Yeah, he also missed the turn trying to get to my house, and he's like, "Oh, was that it?" And he had like back up, and
that's pretty good.
I was just like, "Nice, man."
Yes,
you should have really, really gone in on that.
I should have. He was like, "Was that the turn?" I was like, "It sure was."
You should be like, "Men these days can't read GPSs."
Great driver, not the greatest navigator.
That'd been pretty good.
Yes, he can't have it all, but
the problem is he was dropping you off where you live, and I don't know if you want to make enemies with people that
true.
Know where you live.
That's
so probably best to not say anything.
He also sounds like one of these guys that you said he's 33 and you're 27, and he's like, wait till you get to my age. You
know? Exactly.
I hate guys like that are like they're like barely older than you, and they're like, you just
well,
wait.
Well, speaking
know.
Of which, my back was pretty locked up last night after volleyball, and my legs, I was pretty sore, and you guys just wait till you get to my age.
You just wait.
It's going to catch up with you, too. I did feel that way as I was laying on the couch and then in bed, just a little sand on me, but also just locking up, very dehydrated. Too tired to get in the shower.
Should you be doing that, you think, at your age? Like playing volleyball?
Well, as you know, My talents aren't built around athleticism. I'm below the net player.
I would have never guessed.
So I'm okay. I think I keep saying the next injury I have will probably be my last. Between that and basketball,
mm-hmm.
I've been playing both during the week. So like the next time I get a bad injury, I'll just be it. So I'm riding it out while I can.
Well, at least you're doing something.
Yeah,
it's good. It's good for you.
Some pretty good. Some pretty good shots last night. Not gonna lie.
Okay.
We got like a little rivalry going on. Last week, we smoked them 4-1. They were mad. I kind of taunted them all week, and then they came out and got up 2-0 on us.
Who are all these the people
I got,
you play
I got
with?
New friends now. You're gone. I made new friends.
Volleyball friends?
Yeah, a lot's changed over the last 2 years.
Are they women?
Mixed couple.
Okay.
Men and women.
And it's what, like 2-on-2? 3-on-3?
3-on-3.
Oh, wow.
2-on-2 is a little tough.
So you got a lot of friends now.
Yeah, yeah. You left and I had to adapt.
Wow.
Yep. We got down 2-0, though, and they were letting us have it. And then we won 3 straight to end the night, including last game. Game 5, it was 8-8. Then my girl Katie got on the serve. We won 25-8. She just rolled off 16 straight points. We got one for getting the
so
ball.
So she's like the MVP of this
well,
squad.
In game 5, yes. Yes, she was peppering them in there. They were getting
is she tall?
Frustrated. She's tall.
Oh, okay.
She's
tall. Yeah. So she's player. Trained.
Yeah, the, yeah. Okay. She played college volleyball. So
oh, she's well, how'd you even get down?
Well, I mean, other people
got
are
a college
too.
Volleyball player.
Anyway,
so why are you playing?
I was
they're all college
spot.
Volleyball players. If they're all good.
I'm like, a good setter. I'm a good passer. I'm a good server. I got heart. They like the way I'm out there diving around, getting digs. Don't worry about it. I got heart.
Just wondering how you got involved.
I had to adapt. I had to make new friends. Don't worry about me. We're off and running. You see, if you're watching the Periscope, I got my smoky shirt on. Got my Tennessee hat on. The chili's hot. Since we went off the air, Tennessee, some big news. Some two big recruits. Basketball and football. We'll dive into that after the break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Go drink some White Claw. I tried to drink White Claw playing volleyball, and it wasn't working for me. I was just getting a little tipsy and hitting bad shots, so I've quit my volleyball drinking. But you could drink some White Claw. Only 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar. It won't weigh you down. We appreciate them for being back on for this football season. Going to be a good football season. You had something to say, Cody? No?
Not really.
Okay.
I just
you had a weird look on your face. You looked perplexed.
Well, it was just you said you drink White Claws while I'm playing volleyball.
Yeah, but I quit that. That was a couple weeks ago, and I tried that, but games just got too competitive, and I was just getting a little slow and sloppy, so I just
stopped. Getting a little slashed.
Yeah, so I had to
sloshed.
Stick to just the water and the G2s.
How's your drinking?
How's
are
my
you
drinking
a lot now? Or
drink.
I'm sure White Claw appreciates us going into that topic on their live read.
Yeah, no, I mean.
Do you have a problem?
No, I don't think I have a problem. But I mean, I feel like most people who maybe have a problem say they don't have a problem. What about yours? How's your drinking?
My drinking's it's
because I remember last time you were here. I think on the Wednesday or Thursday of your last week. It might have actually been the last day. I remember we had to go cut the lights out for you so you could take a nap in the recliner.
It was not the last show. It was the second to last show, I think. It was that was one of the worst times I ever. But
it's probably an hour. He just went outside and took a nap.
Mine is, it can still
COVID,
be,
by the way, when sports weren't happening.
Mine can still be problematic, but it's not an alcoholism thing.
That's
with me.
Good.
It's not an everyday, like, you know, I think if you're an alcoholic, you drink every day. You have to drink every day.
Sure.
And I can go 2 months without drinking. Like,
say 2 days.
No, I can go 2 days. No, but when I drink, I binge drink.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I'm a big. Like,
I'm not a social drinker either.
No.
One or two, doesn't. That's a waste of time.
No, I think we're
me.
Both that way.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You got to get a little drunk, right?
So drink White Claw responsibly. We must add responsibly there.
Responsibly. Get a little drunk, you know, but yeah. not too hammered.
Not every
like,
night.
But
I don't feel like we should ask Cam. Let's just move on. Well. Jordan Matthews, Tennessee, able to go down into Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and get the best defensive back in that state, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah. It's hard to do.
And that's a big accomplishment for Josh Heupel and Willie Martinez and Tim Banks. You know, Heupel, of course, running the show. Willie Martinez going to be his secondary's coach and his primary recruiter. Tim Banks, you know, credit for the assist there, the defensive coordinator. Big time get as you beat Michigan and Texas. Two schools that, you know, are both very relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Either because of past tradition, like kind of in the same boat as you, like Texas, where like they keep trying desperately to get back and they should be better, or Michigan, you know, who's coming off of a playoff berth. And oh, by the way, like Louisiana's had some pretty good defensive backs as well.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, they didn't really prioritize Jordan Matthews. I guess maybe they took him for took him for granted, him being in Baton Rouge, but
mm-hmm.
Ed O didn't make him a priority, and then Brian Kelly got there and didn't make him a priority, and you know, they didn't really give LSU the time of day. Afterwards, whenever they did try to offer him. 4-star on 247's composite, he's the number 139 player. So that's a big time player. Not quite a blue chipper, Cody, but he is a big time big-time player, and all of a sudden you look around and Tennessee has a pretty good defensive recruiting class, which I think is important, obviously, because we got confidence in this offense, but this recruiting class has a couple of guys that are ranked pretty highly on defense. Jandavion Bradley, high-ranked four-star. Caleb Herring, same way. And then you get down to Matthews and Sylvester Smith. And then all of a sudden, you know, four or five of your top guys are going to be defensive. It's important. Cody, your thoughts.
Well, you know, Jordan Matthews, I mean, he's what can you say about him? He's a four-star corner. And that's what you're looking for. Same name as the former Vandy receiver who had all those yards.
I believe
he was Jerry Rice's nephew.
Do you think he can be better than that Jordan Matthews? That Jordan Matthews was pretty good.
That guy was, yeah, he was really good.
Jordan Matthews was pretty good.
He set, like, college records. He was Jerry Rice's nephew, right?
I don't know if he was Jerry Rice's nephew or not.
Why did I think that? I think he was. I think he was.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
Somebody should look into that and report that to us if he was Jerry Rice's nephew, because I think he might be. There's no need to look it up. But, yeah, this guy, I mean, he's a corner. So you had the – I'm more excited about the interior guys. You mentioned Caleb Herring. I mean, he's a borderline blue chipper, edge rusher. And then Jandavion Bradley is a blue chipper, edge rusher.
Yeah.
And that's what they say. That's how you win. You need a great quarterback, and you need great guys that can get to a quarterback. So,
this class moves back up to number 11. They're right there, kind of neck and neck with Florida. I still think, you know, depending on how they finish, I think anywhere from 8 to, like, 15 is a realistic goal. But like Cody mentioned, you are going to have a couple of key positions with guys that might be your best in the class, which I think is important, obviously.
Edge rushers, to me, like, that's the most important thing you can have almost, other than a quarterback, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I would say so.
Like, that's what...
Especially if you have a plethora of them. I think in college, you need to have as many as possible because, you know, I don't know... I don't feel like it's very often that you have one that's just elite. Like, I think you have the standouts, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like Anderson at, you know, Alabama, like, that's a difference maker. That's guys.
Derek Barnett.
Yeah, yeah, him.
He was one of those guys here.
Yeah, but, like, you know, even with Barnett, you still need a Vereen to come out there and be able to do something off the other side. Like, I feel like you need multiple guys on the defensive line in college.
Makes it easier,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
I also they can't like double those team as much and things like that.
Like, in the NFL, I feel like a one dominant pass rusher does a lot more for you than in college, I guess, is what I'm getting at. I don't know if I can actually back that up, but that's just how I feel. So I feel like you need a handful of guys because they're just different levels, you know, in terms of coming as a freshman. Can you really expect that guy to be that good? And the next thing you look up, their sophomores or juniors are gone. It's like the more you have, the better, obviously.
Yeah, and you need the depth. But I just like the fact that our top three commits in this class are all close to five stars, if not five stars, and it's quarterback, edge. So that's exactly what I would want
my
top three.
And I think Tennessee did a decent job of that last year, too, with Pierce and Josephs. You know, both those guys were four-star edge rushers, and I think both those guys have a chance to make an impact at some point this year. So I think when you combine, I mean, you kind of knew that was the hope, right, when you saw Tennessee hire Rodney Garner? Is that like you're going to get the defensive line guys back, and then like the guys who are here are going to be coached up like we saw last year when the defensive line kind of overachieved, at least in the run game? They played above their star level, if you will. And now you're actually starting to get some elite bodies to come in, and I think that's going to only make Tennessee better.
Well, I mean, if we could get good on that side of the ball, we'd probably be a pretty good contender for the East.
How good does Tennessee need to be on that side of the ball, in your opinion?
Not elite.
Not elite.
No, you don't have to be elite. But, I mean, if you're going to keep scoring points, but we got to score points at the rate we did last year. So, what, 36 a game at least, something like that? 35, 38 a game. That's what you got to average. And then you can have a middle of the road defense, but you can't be like number 108. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, we shouldn't be in those games like the Pittsburgh game, the Kentucky game, those shootouts like that. It's okay if you get in those against like Alabama. Like,
right.
I would take that. But
You gotta be able to stop Kentucky's offense.
Yeah, you gotta stop middle of the road offenses. So just give me like number 54 total defense, something like that.
I'll say Pittsburgh. I'll give them more credit for not being middle of the road.
They did win
offense.
The ACC.
I mean, yeah, and Kenny Pickett and Jordan Addison were, you know, two studs. So I'll give them a little bit more credits. Although I feel like they probably could have scored 60 points on us had they had a good game plan. I feel like they kind of came out of the gate really sloppy, mm-hmm. and like they had the middle of the field wide open for Kenny Pickett anytime he wanted, and they didn't really take it as much of advantage of it as they should have.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was a good offense. Kentucky, I don't think was a good offense. We compared
Purdue.
We called them a poor man's Georgia. Yeah, and Purdue, you know, without a lot of their skill, a lot of their top talent didn't play, right? I mean, their quarterback
their top
played, but
Bell receiver play. Was out, right?
David Bell.
Yeah, I was going to say their best receiver and like their wasn't they have another two receivers or the receiver running
out,
back.
Yeah.
I mean, they had two of their best skill position players out, and they pretty much had their way with you from the second quarter on.
And letting that Florida team put 38 on you. I mean, I know that's early in the year and you're getting adjusted to things, but when did the defense really play well? Like, we let Alabama explode in the fourth quarter.
It seemed to me
Ole
like,
Miss, maybe?
I think the defense definitely gets a passing grade for the Ole Miss game, just because if you tell me you only give up 31 points, that's a game you got to win. That's what you're saying, though. Like, give up 31 and not 38, and Tennessee wins a lot of those games. Now, you know, granted the offense got stuck in neutral in the fourth quarter, and you couldn't win that game. And, like, Matt Corral, if I remember correctly, did he run for a buck 80 that night?
Yeah.
I feel like Matt Corral scrambled for 180 yards.
He scrambled for 195.
Oh, okay. So I undersold him. And obviously in college stat keeping, if you don't know, sacks are reduced from your rushing yards. So, like, that's 195 yards. I don't even know if he had any sacks. But
30 carries, 195 yards, and he averaged 6.5 a carry.
Yeah, I mean, it was every third down or fourth down. Like, it would be a situation where he would scramble up the middle and he'd pick up the first down. So that was frustrating.
That was annoying.
So I have a full time. I have a hard time giving a full stamp of approval that the defense played well or played great that game, but they played well enough. And keep in mind, they should have, you know, given you 7 points the other way, right? On the strip sack fumble that should have been a touchdown, that was a touchdown, then got blown dead. And they're like, actually, it wasn't a touchdown. We didn't blow it dead, but we're saying it's dead. So coming back here, sorry about it.
Sorry, sons of bitches.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people felt that same way. Josh Heupel at Media Day said he wishes he had, you know, golf balls or mustard balls to throw himself. So I think a lot of people felt that way. Ole Miss game was probably the best overall defensive game, though, against a quality opponent. Like South Carolina, Tennessee dominated that first half.
Mm-hmm.
I still, like, wonder how that game would have gone had they not tried maybe the dumbest H-back pass in history. They had just ran the ball down our throat. They get down to the goal line. And they're like, hey, let's throw it to our running back and let him toss it. And then he throws the interception. And then, you know, next thing you know, it's 28-0. Or 28-7, whatever it was. I think it was 28-9.
That second half was a little nerve-wracking.
It's just Tennessee kind of got stuck in neutral there. And South Carolina was scoring. And, you know, they're trying hard, obviously. And we didn't let it get too close. But, yeah, it did leave a little bit to be desired, if you will. Missouri had nothing for you. Your defense played good in that game. But in the big games, they didn't really show up. I will say that there has to be a sacrifice with your defensive numbers, obviously, if you're running 100 snaps on offense, right? And you're against Kentucky, you do score 45 points in 15 minutes. It's asking a lot of your defense, who, let's face it, is still a little undermanned,
mm-hmm.
attrition-wise and depth-wise and talent-wise, to ask them to be on the field for 45 minutes against a physical team. And Kentucky, for their shortcomings, they are a physical team.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to ask that much of them. Just, you know, a little improvement this year. You got, what, 8 starters back?
The defense should be improved this year. I don't know if it can get to the number 50 that you want, but also, like, I don't think we're competing for the East this year, right? And you're saying, like, if you're trying to win the East, it needs to be
you could be
50th ranked. You could be.
If your defense is improved significantly –
uh-huh.
Like, if they are number 50, I think you probably will compete for the East. Depends on what Georgia does, but, you know, if you can hold Georgia's offense down a little bit, and I wouldn't rule it out.
I'm going to rule out the East, or I'm going to say it's very, very unrealistic. Now, ask me again, you know, when the season starts, and if we go into that game with a chance to beat Georgia and take first place, then I'll fully be talked into us having a chance in that game.
Yeah.
Which I guess, I mean, all you have to do is beat everybody besides Alabama and you'll be in that situation, right?
Yeah, but you got to win every swing game, so
yep.
That's yep. probably not likely.
Or have Georgia just lose once.
If they lose one and you lose one.
We looked at their schedule, though, and they couldn't really find any losses. We got everyone kind of hates Shane Beamer here and kind of hates South Carolina, but we'd probably should be really rooting for South Carolina week three.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, if they can pull the upset there, I mean, there's not a chance in hell that'll happen, but if it did, then we could afford to lose at LSU.
Yeah.
Didn't they get him like 3 years ago randomly in that one game?
Yeah, I mean, it was whenever Jake Fromm was there, right? That was their only loss.
Maybe he threw like three or four interceptions.
They beat him on a last-second field goal, or Georgia missed a field goal, or something like that happened.
I mean, that team's got to be not nearly as good this year. Like, it should be a down year for them. Are they that much better than everybody else that they'll still be
their defense
undefeated?
Is at least going to be learning this year. They're not experienced. Like, they're five-star guys, but like,
I mean,
these guys haven't played a ton. I mean,
this is the year we'll find out if Georgia is truly like the new Alabama.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Because I don't think Kirby's that good of a coach. I think they're just loaded with talent.
Yeah, I know. But like, we're not talking about them winning a national championship level. We're talking about them like beating South Carolina and
just
the rest
winning
of teams
the East
in the SEC. Yeah, like, because that was always the talk with Alabama early on. It was like, oh man, look how much they're losing. Rebuild year, and then you start realizing, oh, wait, all these guys are just five stars, and all of them are going to be really, really good, and it doesn't matter who's there, because there's going to be like two or three freaks in every iteration of this team.
But they also have the greatest coach that's ever done it.
And
so they have the most talent and the best coach.
And you're saying
whereas
you don't
Georgia,
think Kirby is that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think Georgia had so much talent last year that it was just almost undeniable, like defensively.
Yeah,
Kirby couldn't really look like if you put Jimbo Fisher as the coach of that team, same thing would have happened.
And they had a pretty easy schedule outside the Clemson game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Clemson obviously
didn't
end up being that good. Clemson didn't end up being any good. But
do you think Kirby's like a top level? I mean, I know he makes some difference, but if Jimbo Fisher coached that Georgia team last year, would they still have won a national title? Because I feel like they would have.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think
there's a few coaches that they still would have.
I still think Jimbo is a better coach than Kirby Smart.
You've always been a big Jimbo guy, from what I remember.
Well, I do remember us arguing Jimbo versus Scott Frost and who's going to do better at their new jobs. And
you tried to argue for which one of those?
You said I was a big Jimbo guy. You're the Scott
was
Frost
guy.
Yeah.
I was the Scott Frost guy?
That one hasn't aged well.
Well, he got in a bad situation. I mean, Nebraska's never going to be back.
People think Nebraska's going to be good this year. I saw some people talking about that this year.
Good to what level? Like
9-3.
I mean, that division's always winnable.
Yeah. But
9-3. Bo Pelini went 9-3 four straight years, and they canned him.
I think he was 8-4 guy, wasn't he?
No, he was a 9-3 guy, or 9-4.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought he always won the bowl game.
What it was, maybe.
I thought he went 8-4 and then won the bowl game every year, and then they fired him.
Sometimes you don't know what you got till it's gone.
Amen to that. Amen to that.
We had a guy that had back-to-back 9-win seasons.
You miss him?
We canned. I missed him in the Pruitt times. I don't really miss him now, but like – he give him credit. I mean,
four and A's last year. Shut up.
I know he did, but the best memories we've got in the last 15 years came from his team.
No.
2016. It's undeniable.
No, beating Kentucky last year is better.
Is it?
No, it's not. We're gonna make new memories this year, though.
I mean, those Butch wins were probably more luck than anything.
I don't want to talk about Butch Jones anymore.
No, I understand. I mean, I don't either. But
I hate that guy.
I just those 2 weeks, though, man.
Every now and then I'll see a press conference quote from Arkansas State come up, and he's the same exact thing.
Yeah.
He's still saying the same exact stuff. I saw a rant about, he was talking about J.J. Watt and Antonio Brown. I was like, oh, my God, he's got the same speaking part.
And
same
that's
little,
not
same
going
topics.
Well.
Yeah,
yeah, I was like, he's using Antonio Brown still?
It's
he got
not
an extension.
Going well.
I think he got another year out of his contract after like going 1-11 or whatever it was this year.
Did he? I don't know, but I know last year was rough.
It was terrible.
I thought that would be a good fit for him. I thought maybe he could get it done there.
Might be. We'll see in year two.
He wasn't the worst coach ever. He wasn't good, but I'm not trying to
he
go
wasn't
back
the
for
no,
the
he
guy.
Was,
he just, but I'd rather have him than the last guy we had.
He was not the worst coach ever.
I think Pruitt, like, I didn't like him. He was my least favorite of all the bad coaches we've had. And I
really didn't like Derek Dooley.
I liked Dooley. At least he was funny. At least he had a personality. Funny at times. I think he was just really dumb.
Well, yeah. I will say, though, if we're just talking about our dumb coaches, I know like we don't like Pruitt at all anymore, but I don't think he thinks made me as laugh as much for, like, from the other dumb coaches as whenever he got called in the middle of the night when Jeremy Banks got arrested and he was on audio trying to
Oh, yeah, that was funny. Just, thanks for doing your civic duty,
yeah,
man.
Just do your civic duty.
Yeah, man. That was pretty funny.
That and saying it was the silliest stuff he had ever heard. That was pretty funny to me, but that was kind of the only funny thing he ever did. That one stands out.
I just knew something was wrong with that guy in 2019, like losing that first game of the year. And I know it turned out we beat the scrubs, you know, but that was tough to swallow for me.
Should have been 9-3 that year.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah, should have won 10 games that year.
Do you think about that, like in 2020, had that not been a COVID year, you know we would have had 3 non-conference wins against some scrubs.
So they would have gotten fired. Yeah.
Right. So he probably
would have had to play Texas A&M as well. Like, yeah. That was another loss.
He would have gone 6-6, and he'd maybe still be here?
I don't think he would have been here because of the NCAA stuff. Now, whether or not Tennessee would throw him under the bus to the same level if he was 6-6, probably a different story. But the NCAA stuff came up, and I don't know. I feel like that was going to come up regardless.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you throw that in there. That gets him canned. But
like, if the NCAA stuff wasn't around, I don't know if we'd have fired him in a COVID year at 3-7 anyways. Like, that would have been – who knows if it was just a regular 3-7.
Thank God for the Wuhan flu. China virus.
It did bring us Josh Heupel. Which I think people are pretty excited about Josh Heupel. We'll continue the conversation after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. We talk about being excited for Josh Heupel, and the biggest question people had was whether or not he was going to be able to recruit at this level. And I wasn't confident he was going to be able to. I don't know if – well, let me rephrase this because I do know that it has some impact. I don't know how much of an impact, like, Spire Sports and, like, collectives have because we get credit for having the best.
Yeah.
But it's not just that.
Yeah, you're saying, like, if he took that away, would he still be able to get close to this level or
– Yeah, like, I mean, I don't – if we were back to just, you know, everything's illegal, like, paying everybody's illegal and, you know, you can't do any of that – it would probably hurt Tennessee even more so now because of all the, you know, the Pruitt-McDonald stuff.
Yeah.
But if it was just, you know, no sanctions, can Josh Heupel do this? I don't know. I don't know, but he doesn't have to. Mm-hmm. And I also don't want to say that – I don't think it's fair to say that all of the success has come from the NIL stuff. A relationship. I think it's a partnership that they have to work together.
Because everybody's offering money, so.
Right. Right. Like, you beat Texas for this guy. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're outbidding Texas by a significant margin, if you are even outbidding them. I don't know what the offers for, you know, these recruits are. I don't know. Tennessee apparently had Jordan Matthews, the guy who committed yesterday, as their number one, like, target in the secondary. So maybe they had more money allocated to him than Texas did. I don't know. But you went into Kentucky, and you got Conyer out of there. You beat them for their number one player. Mm-hmm. Then they start crying about how they didn't have any money.
Broke.
But then you go and, like, Ricky Gibson, the guy that we got 2 days ago, that was a little bit lower of a three-star, but that people thought was a diamond in the rough. You know, you beat Georgia for him. And Auburn, two schools that we don't think are broke.
No.
It ain't like you're out there and just, you know, you're able to trump Georgia. Now, maybe Georgia's, looking around and saying, hey, we got 5 stars we're spending this money on. We don't value 3 stars the same level. Mm-hmm. But, like, Auburn ain't in position to do that. Arkansas ain't in position to do that. And those are the two other schools you beat for him. And then, again, for this last guy, Jordan Matthews, you were able to punk Texas and Michigan, two schools that should be playing at the big boy table.
Yep.
I always hear about how much money Texas has, and then A&M always gets all the players down there. Like, what has Texas done the last – I know they have booster issues, as in, like, they have too many hands in the program.
Uh-huh.
I always hear about that with Texas. Like, they interfere way too much.
Yeah.
I guess that's got something to do with it. But they supposedly have this unlimited amount of money, and then they're just never good.
The thing is, I don't think it's been a recruiting issue. Because, like, even right now, if you look, like, they're number three in this recruiting cycle. Now, you know, they didn't put the class together that Texas A&M put. Like, obviously, if you're comparing them to Texas A&M, like, last year, Texas A&M flopped it out on the table. But they also have big-time money.
Well, they weren't buying players.
They were not buying players, that's right.
Because that's what Jimbo said.
Yeah, that's what Jimbo said. But right now, Texas has 22 commits, two of them 5-stars, 14 4-stars. So, like, they're doing well recruiting. I mean, like, they got Arch Manning. They got that Quinn Ewers got a transfer. Those are two 5-star quarterbacks. Like, they have, like, the crown jewels. And then they got a 5-star safety from Louisiana coming as well. But
they got the Manning kid the year after.
I feel bad for Arch Manning because he's going to be bad. Like, compared to what people think he's going to be.
Yeah,
I agree.
I already feel bad for him because he's just not that good. I mean, he might be good, but, like, 247 had him as a 1.0. Did you see that? I'm sure you guys have talked about it. But
talked about what?
You know how their star rating, their rating system, like our quarterback, Nico, whatever. Yeah. I couldn't say his name in 1,000 years, but it's
point. I think you get him like year 5.
9986 or whatever. Like, every player that's ever been on there is a .998, .997, whatever. Mm-hmm. They had Arch Manning as 1.0. You're telling me he's the greatest player, the greatest prospect you've ever seen is essentially what they're saying.
Yeah, that's not true.
He's not going to be that good. It's not going to happen.
I think that's the popular opinion, though.
It might be.
I think that's where everyone's kind of gone now. So, like, I feel like
it's the right opinion.
It might be. I'm not arguing that it's not, because if you watch his highlight video, it looks like he's playing against, like,
other whites. School.
Yeah, like 3A schools, like, here in Tennessee. Like, other whites that that can't chase him down from behind.
Right.
And, like, they can't tackle him if they do. So, like, his highlight film obviously leaves a lot to be desired.
It's so funny. People are like, whoa, this guy's mobile as he's running a 4.9, running away from guys with 5.6s.
Yeah, running away from fellow whites. He's just, I mean, he might be good. I'm not even saying he's not going to be good. I'm not calling him a bust or anything. I just know what the expectation level is going to be.
Yeah.
And it's going to be way too high. Way too high when you know, you just look at the family he comes from. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like Peyton was saying the other day about Eli. Eli really wasn't even good either. And then they made him – I guess they made him good at some point, but Ole Miss made him good. Cutcliffe helped him out, you know. But
Peyton said that?
They never thought he was going to be good.
Did Peyton actually say that?
There was some quote like that. He said, actually, what people don't know is that Cooper was the best one out of all of us, and then there was me, and then Eli. We didn't even think Eli was going to be any good. He was, like, clumsy and goofy or whatever.
Do we actually –
I'm
paraphrasing.
I was going to say plagiarizing. But
do we actually think Cooper was the best one? They always say that, but do you think that's just them, like, throwing him a bone?
It might be because of his –
injury.
He had a back injury?
It was either back or spine. I mean, I know they're connected. Like, it was something with the back, spine.
The neck. Spine's in the back, I
think. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It goes from the neck down to the tailbone.
Right.
So
the thing in the middle.
Yeah, it's like a long thing that has different.
Makes me queasy thinking
skeletons
about it,
are so weird. Do you ever think about skeletons?
I hate skeletons. During scary movies or something, and I see a skeleton around Halloween, I don't like it.
But we've all got one inside us.
Mm-hmm. And that's the grossest thing.
Yeah, it is.
Are all of our skeletons the same size? I mean, I know not height-wise, but, like, width-wise, like, is Cody's skeleton the same as your skeleton?
No, I'm big boned, so I have a different size skeleton. Mine's bigger than the average one.
I don't know how to necessarily measure that.
Like, is big boned real?
I'm not fat. I'm just big boned.
I think to an extent, it's got to be a little bit real. Like, not, you know how we were talking about yesterday, how we would look weird if we were cam size? Yeah.
Our skulls are different.
There's some people that are just built, like, I think they're naturally a little bigger. Yeah, or like
different body frames.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew, obviously, that people are, you know, different sizes, like, in, you know, bulky and, you know, large breeding and all that stuff. But I just didn't know, like, proportionately if the skeletons were the same.
The actual bones?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know
probably
about
not.
That.
I guess they can't be, really.
I think they could be different. Are you saying they are different or they're not?
I don't say they could be.
You
the
don't
same.
Think they
I
are?
I mean, I'm asking. I'm talking it out, but, like, I think when you actually think about it, like, the big guys, like, they have to be bigger bones and bigger skeletons.
I think there are different sized bones because, like,
I think so.
Because my legs are, like, 2.5 feet long. They're very short. I have very short legs. I have a long torso. So I would think this might sound stupid. This could be really stupid. We might need an orthopedic person to comment on this. But I would think like my femur is shorter than other people's femurs.
I guess that has to be.
I don't know.
If you have short legs, I guess that has to be a thing.
I don't know. That might be dumb. Maybe there's another.
There might be some. There's somebody that's like, these guys are morons.
Is there more space between the bones?
The novelty has worn off from yesterday. They're like, oh, never mind. These guys are idiots.
Yeah. I mean, there's got to be an orthopedic like guy in the audience. You know there is.
They're probably like so confused by what we're even asking that they've turned the channel.
How long is the – are femurs different lengths?
They have to be if your legs are different lengths, right?
Yeah, like why are my legs – like if we stand side by side, say your legs are, I don't know, a foot more than mine?
I don't think that's accurate.
I bet it is.
A foot?
Yeah.
We're the same height. I mean, I'm a little bit taller than you.
I know, but my torso's so much longer.
You could have been a swimmer.
I have really short legs.
And I guess I was asking proportion.
You have different like bone mass and bone size.
Yeah, I'm over the conversation. I'm confused myself. I don't even know what I was asking now.
Well, what were we talking about initially?
Skeletons. Your spine.
And Cooper Manning. And I know he's
alive.
I know he played receiver, but like I don't as a prospect, there's no way he was a better prospect than Peyton was, right? I mean, like, I can't imagine he was. I mean, I know he might have been more athletic, obviously, as a wide receiver.
Bodies are gross.
They are.
When you just think about it.
Damn skeletons, man. They're so spooky.
He had spinals.
Like skin is gross.
Spinal
stenosis.
Stenosis.
It's the narrowing of the spinal canal. So basically, it would have been risks of paralysis if you.
Yes. Okay.
Oh Jesus. So like the space between inside the where the spinal cord is.
Yeah, that's what I'm assuming. Yeah.
So what? Like the spine bones were closing in on the spinal cord.
So that kind of sounds like.
Sounds terrifying.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird that things like that can happen to your body? Like, things can just go wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a whole system, and it can just break down.
Next thing you know, like, boom.
Yeah.
It's a wrap.
Yeah. Like, it's crazy to think about. It's also crazy to me to think about how some things are gross to us about, like, each other or other people you think about, and they're gross. Like, for instance, if I had a big scab on my arm, you'd be like, oh, that's gross. But, like, if I was a really attractive girl, it wouldn't be as gross.
No, scabs are still gross, I think.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think
now,
so.
I will say that the cute girls, I think their skeletons are less gross than mine and yours.
Okay, I think what I'm trying to say is that.
Although, I don't know. They could be extra bony.
Okay. All right, let me put it to you this way. Let's say there's me and there's a really attractive girl, and we both don't shower for a week. And yeah. So
she's going to smell better than you.
Her body odor smells better because she's hot.
So plus she also,
but it's the same smell.
No, I was going to say she also probably doesn't sweat as much as you would in this scenario.
Let's say she does. Let's say it's the same exact smell.
It's a sweaty Mila.
There are some things that I think it's something to do with attraction. You know what I mean?
Well, I think this is just being attracted to men versus women because, like, I think isn't there, like, pheromones and stuff? Because, like,
right.
I always liked my women a little musty, to be honest.
Right. That's what
I liked my women on that 2 or 3 day
I don't know
smell
if you're getting.
Versus right out of the shower. No, thanks. I need to build up some of that.
Yeah, yeah.
That.
You want it to. You yeah, want a little yeah stink, like. But
I
but like
the books. We'll off hour two of the headlines.
I had more to say.
I know. That's why I'm going. Hour two coming at you. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.